Bible. The Bible, friends, is happen not a book that you're over familiar with. Maybe, like many people in our country today, you've heard people say what the Bible says. But you know, it's too important. The matters, you know, of which it reveals and speaks, far too important than just to accept, you know, hearsay what somebody else says the Bible says. And of course, if you and I at the, you know, at the end of our course, if we're going to be judged by God, and we are, for we must all appear before the judgment throne of God. If that's the case, then don't you think that we ought to have first-hand information, which, of course, you know, as regards to what God requires? And of course, the only place that you'll find that, well, in the Bible itself. So I urge you, you know, to read the Bible, to read the Word of God for yourself. It's the only place where a person finds, you know, God's speech today. You want to hear the voice of God, then there's only one place to go, and that's the Bible. That's His written Word that He's given to us. A more sure word of testimony from the very lips of God Himself. So I offer you a copy of, well, it's the entirety of the New Testament of the Bible. It is offered to you, of course, free of charge, without any cost or any obligation to you. We're not of that, you know, class of people that go about peddling stuff on the high street. And neither, of course, do we change or alter the message, the book, the Bible itself. It's the Word of God is written, and it's yours to take and do with as you will. But maybe if you were to take to reading it, then who knows? But maybe you'll find some surprises. You know, maybe you'll discover Jesus, eternal life. Maybe perhaps, you know, God Himself will command the light to shine into your hearts and minds and reveal to you the knowledge of Himself in the face of Jesus Christ, because it's only there that you'll see, it's only there that you'll find God in Jesus Christ Himself. He is the final, He's the ultimate revelation of God. You know, He's God's final, He's God's last word to humankind. So you miss Jesus, you reject Jesus, then, you know, you're lost forever, you're lost for all eternity. So important that you get to know Jesus. This is eternal life, He says, knowing God and knowing Jesus Christ whom He sent. And of course, knowing God and knowing Jesus, that's not the same as knowing about them, you know. You can say, you know about a certain person. Maybe you tell me that you know David Cameron, or you know President Obama, but of course you don't really. You just know about them, you know. It's just what you've heard, you know, what you've seen in the news, the media. You don't really know them, not relationally. So you see, it's knowing Jesus Christ experimentally, knowing Him as your Savior, knowing Him in obedience to His Word. It's knowing Jesus Christ, of course, that is eternal life. He tells us so. Word of God, as I say, entire copy of the New Testament offered to you, free of charge and no cost and no obligation to you. Yours to come and take and do with as you will. But of course, the Bible, the Word of God, is what I intend, of course, to declare to you here this afternoon in Nottingham once again. Here, if you will, listen up. This is the Word of the Lord. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Thus reads the Word of God. The Word of God, of course, which is has the ability to make you wise for salvation. That is, if you believe it. That is, if you receive it. That is, if you believe in the living Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. It says here in God's Word that the godly man, the person, the man or woman who meditates in the law of God day and night too, that is, who embraces, who receives the Word of God, prosperity marks their pathway. Not, of course, worldly, not, of course, carnal prosperity. But I ask you people, how can any person, how can any nation prosper, flourish without the Word of God? And, of course, without God himself, that is an impossibility. And, of course, you find your own nation and some of you yourselves, too. You find yourselves in a steep decline, you know. Morality, spirituality. The nation, as well as some people have said to me, is going to the dogs. Some people put it in even stronger language than that. They say is going to hell in a handbasket, whatever that means. But that's a certain truth. Nations on the pathway to perdition, and so too are you. If you are numbered amongst the ungodly, if you, that is, have not believed on the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, he whom the Bible declares indeed to be both Lord and God. So to continue on, of course, to the end of your course in your ungodly state and condition, well, of course, is to be faced with, well, as the Bible, as God's Word here says, declares, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. That's an impossibility. You see, to continue in an ungodly state is to continue in the pathway of immorality. You see, and, neglect of God, you see, leads to that, you know. The Russian dissident and man of God, Alexander Solzhenitsyn, he pondered all his life why Russia had suffered in the revolution the way that they did. 60 million, he says, of my people perished in that revolution. And he said, I spent all my lifetime studying the matter. Why, he said. And he said, I've written 12 volumes myself on the matter. But he said, I come to the conclusion, it's all here just in this one phrase. He says, we forgot God. Men forgot God. And that was the end result, he said. 60 million people in Russia perished during the time of that revolution. All the nations you see that forget God shall perish, shall, God says, be cast into hell. So to continue, you see, in your ungodly state, a state of immorality and neglect of God, that's not good. Open, shameless sinners, you know. You do stuff today and you watch stuff today and you read stuff today in your society and nation that 20, 30 years ago you'd have blushed, you'd have been ashamed of, utterly ashamed of. There'd be an outcry in the nation. But now, of course, you see with the decline, with the neglect of God, the rejection of His Word, the ungodly state, you see, you don't stand still. Or you start off ungodly, that's the way you begin life, in an ungodly state and condition. But it doesn't stand still, you don't remain there. You know, it grows. Sin, the Bible tells us, you know, it's organic, it develops, it grows in you, that is, and of course, well, in the nation, and of course, well, in the human race too, it just grows and grows, it multiplies, and God says we'll multiply towards the end. And before, you see, the Lord Jesus Christ comes again with His holy angels, the Bible says, in flaming fire to take vengeance upon all them that know not God and that obey not the gospel. When He comes, people, this world will be in a state of evil and wickedness that, well, you just do not want to be there when that time comes. It will be absolute. You think the world is evil today? You think the world's in a horrendous state and condition today? Well, believe me, we've seen nothing yet. But it's developing, you see. You don't stand still. You're moving towards eternity from the day you're born. From the day that you take your first breath, you're moving forwards, onwards. But the question is, what path are you on? What direction are you taking? Is it the pathway to perdition or the pathway to glory? Well, it depends on your state, you see. In an ungodly state, you're growing in wickedness, you're growing in evil, you're growing in sin. Sin is developing within you until the time comes where the cup is full and God removes you from this world and casts you into hell forever. So that ungodly state, you see, it needs to be changed. It needs to be modified somewhat. Heart surgery really is what's necessary. But the ungodly, well, the psalmist, he says here, they're like chaff, you know. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. You know what chaff is? Chaff isn't the wheat. Chaff is the rubbish. Chaff is the rubbish. That's the ungodly. God says they're like rubbish that the wind just blows away. And of course, when God's judgment comes, when it eventually falls upon you as a person, an individual, when it falls upon you as a nation, like the chaff, you see, the wind of God's judgment, and when it comes, believe me, hey, fiercer than any hurricane, greater than any tornado that ever man has seen. The wind of God's judgment comes. It is destructive and it will just drive the ungodly. It will just drive the chaff, the rubbish. That's what the ungodly are like in the eyes of God. They're just like chaff. They're just like the rubbish that gets blown away in the wind. So you see how important it is, surely, that you get out of that ungodly state that you're in, that you're born in, that you live in. Unless that is, of course, you're reborn, born again, as Jesus puts it. Like chaff, you see, that the wind driveth away, worthless, unserviceable, unfit for God and unfit for glory. Unfit for heaven, that is. Unserviceable, not able. You cannot serve the Lord, you see. Why cannot you serve the Lord? You cannot worship God. Why not? Because you're in an ungodly state. An ungodly person has no desire to worship God. Cannot worship God in your state of unholiness. unregenerate, never been reborn, and no love for God in your soul. Unserviceable, you see, and easily carried away. That's the ungodly, isn't it? Easily carried away, you know. Your peers say to you, come on, you know, let's go and get blathered. Let's go and get drunk out of our minds. And away you go with them. You're easily carried away, you know. And easily carried away by the other ungodly people. Ungodly people say, let's redefine marriage, you know. Let's make it suitable for the unclean, for the perverse. Let's make it suitable, you know, for the fornicators and the sodomites, so that everybody's included, you know. Carried away, you see. Carried away with the rest of the ungodly to do more ungodly things and greater ungodly things. Easily carried away because no principles in you, no principles of morality, no steel in your spine, you know, no fiber, and no desire even to stand against the tide of ungodliness that marks your nation today and drives your nation today. Like the chaff, you see, like the rubbish, easily carried away, driven away on the wind of ungodliness. And of course, well, the wind drives the rubbish away, you see, carried away eventually, you see, in death, and hurried into hell. Because that's the end, you see, of the ungodly. Hell, you see. The place that God, well, he tells us he has prepared, you see, for the devil and his angels. And he tells us, you see, quite clearly that there are those, you see, who are excluded for heaven but only fit for hell, and that, of course, is the ungodly. He says concerning heaven, listen if you will, but the fearful, the unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And with regards to heaven, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. For outside heaven, that is, are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. There you go, you see, people. Death, you see, will come to you. And it will come suddenly, maybe. It will come quicker than you think. And death, you see, if it catches you, if it finds you in your ungodly state in which you were born, it will just hurry you into hell. And that, of course, forever. So what does it mean? What does it mean? A young lady asked me the question, what does it mean to be ungodly? Well, it means, it tells us here, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. It means to have no standing before God. I mean, how could you possibly, in your ungodly state, stand before God? Who shall ascend up into God's holy hill? The Bible poses the question, and it answers the question. It says, those who are of clean hands and a clean heart. So you see, with an unclean heart and unclean hands, that is a defiled heart and hands, of course, that work evil and wickedness, unrighteousness, cannot ascend into the presence of God, cannot stand before God. Unjustified, unregenerate, you see, in your natural state and condition as you were born. Unless that ungodly state is removed, you see, you could never, no man could ever, ever stand before God and stand before, more importantly, stand before his judgment. Because he will judge you, you see, one day, according to what he has caused to be written here in his word in the Bible. God, you see, has revealed his law, his commandments. You can read those commandments for yourself if you pick up a Bible. see what, see the sum there in the Ten Commandments of what it is that God requires of you. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That, you see, excludes all false religion, everything outside of Bible religion. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. That excludes, you see, the idolaters. Remember, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God, you see, blasphemers. That's what it means to be ungodly. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not kill, whether by means of abortion, euthanasia, or anything else in between. It's all murder, you see. And murderers don't go to heaven. They're the ungodly, you see. Thou shalt not commit adultery, every form of sexual immorality known to man. And then some more. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness, tell lies. That is, no liars get into heaven. They're ungodly too, you see. Thou shalt not covet, you see. So there you have it, you see. In such a state and condition as that, lawbreakers, covenant breakers, you see, that's what it means to be ungodly and unable to stand before God, and more importantly, to stand before the judgment of God. The only way that any man or woman will be able, ever be able to stand before the judgment of God is if they have Jesus Christ as their advocate standing in the courtroom to defend them. You see, unless you've been justified by the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ, unless you've been washed in His blood of all the defilement of sin, unless He has washed you and made you clean, unless He has clothed you in His righteousness, you will not stand in the day of judgment before God. To be ungodly, of course, is to have no self-defense, you see, before God. And what defense would you give? What defense? What excuses would you make for your sin? I couldn't help it. It wasn't me, it was her, it was him. You know, it was the circumstances. If they'd been different, I wouldn't have done it. All the excuses under the sun, you know. Justifying yourself, you know, defending yourself. But here's the thing in the judgment. When you stand before God as an ungodly person, believe me, you will have no defense whatsoever. And especially so, of course, if you've been born and bred in this country with Bibles galore, churches around you, even street preachers telling you the message of the gospel, that how you can be saved from the judgment of God, how you can be brought into a godly state, out of an ungodly state. But in that day, you see, you will have no defense, no self-defense at all. Only one person can defend you from the wrath and the judgment of God. And I don't mean the wrath of God that's already being revealed amongst you in your nation, in your minds, given over to reprobate, to debased minds. That's the wrath of God revealed amongst you today in your nation. But then people, when you face the ultimate judgment of God, you will be faced with the full, final, consummate wrath of God, the divine anger of God. And how will you defend yourself against such the fierce anger, the wine of His wrath? How will you escape such? How will you defend yourself against such? There is only one person who can defend you. The one whom I declare to you here this afternoon in Nottingham Town Centre. The Lord Jesus Christ, the one who came, who lived and loved and died and rose again for sinners to justify them so that they might be able to stand before God with confidence, with boldness, knowing that Jesus Himself will defend them in that courtroom. He will be their advocate. But without Jesus, without my gospel, without faith in the gospel, without repentance unto faith, you see, without believing, unless you see the kingdom of God is within you before you get to that judgment seat. Well, people, all is lost then. Too late. Ungodly. No self-defense. Then, of course, well, you know, to be ungodly, it means that you have no place, you know. You have no place, you see, with the saints in heaven. You know, with those who have believed, you know, those whom you mock and scoff at, those that you sneer at today because they love Jesus and proclaim Jesus and sing the praises of Jesus on a Sunday. And you despise them, you hate them and you dislike them and you abuse them and persecute them. But you see, in that day, when you breathe your last and go out of this world, and you're hurried into hell quickly, very quickly, because you'll have no place, you see, no place for you amongst the saints in heaven, justified sinners, those who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, no place for you, because, you see, there'll be an immediate judgment, you see, the sheep and the goats, Jesus says. Goats to the left, sheep to the right, you know? The sheep go to heaven and the goats go to hell. So which is it you are? A sheep or a goat? When that time comes and the separation takes place and Jesus does the separating, the wheat from the chaff, all the chaff are easily driven away, just blown away in the wind of God's judgment, separated from amongst the sheep, separated from the wheat. Only the wheat go to heaven. Only the sheep go to heaven. The chaff and the goats are purged. And they, of course, well, the end of the ungodly. The pathway to perdition, people. Get out of it. Repent and believe the gospel. Well, you yet have the time. Time is short. But then, of course, in your ungodly state, you would not want to go to heaven. I mean, you would not be able to tolerate heaven. Heaven is where the holy dwell. Heaven is holiness and perfection. Holiness is where God is. You hate God now, do you think? Do you think once you've died, do you think you'll love God then? You'll hate Him even more. No, you wouldn't be able to tolerate heaven. Heaven would be an anathema to you. But of course, some of you say rather foolishly, you say, well, that's good, that's suitable for me. I don't want to go there. I'll go to hell with my friends. I'll party in hell. Well, people, you misunderstand what the Bible means by hell. It certainly does not mean what you deem it to mean. You will be lonely. You will be lonely. You will not be with your friends. Well, you may be there with them, but you will not be partying with them, that's for sure. You will be with devils and demons. You will be with the most wicked and evil people that ever have lived on the face of this earth. You will be in the company of the Stalins, the Mousy Tongues, and the Adolf Hitlers, murderers, and perverts, and pedophiles. You will be in the company in hell with the most wicked that ever lived on the face of this earth. You will not enjoy hell, believe me. But in your ungodly state, neither would you be able to tolerate heaven. You must be changed here. On this earth, you must be changed now while you have the time, the breath of life in you. You only have the opportunity of getting right with God. Repenting and believing the gospel. Being reborn. You must be born again, Jesus says, in order to get out of that ungodly state and get into a godly state whereby you can stand before God and before His judgment. But the Bible also speaks of the way of the righteous. The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So who are the righteous? Who are the godly? Well, tell those not righteous of themselves, not their self-righteousness, because their, my righteousness, just like yours, is a filthy rag. No standing before God on our own, in our own righteousness, that's unacceptable to God, our deeds. You see, I come to you, friends, not because I'm better than you. I don't doubt for a moment some of you may even be better people than I am. Wouldn't argue that for a moment. That's not the point. You see, I may not be better than you, but I'm better off than you. Because I have a Savior who has provided me with a righteousness that does not belong to me. It's the revealed righteousness of God in the gospel in His Son, Jesus Christ. His righteousness, not mine, not self-righteousness, but the righteousness of God. So how does one obtain the righteousness of God? This is how. By repenting of your sin and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Then and then alone, you see. The moment that a sinner truly believes in Jesus, God the judge, he dons the judge's cap and he brings the gavel down and he declares that person to be not just not guilty, but righteous. And fit, therefore, you see, for heaven. Not like the chaff, not like the rubbish blown away in the wind of God's judgment. But you see, righteous, ready to stand before God, fit for purpose, serviceable in this world and, of course, the world to come. Saved, you see, Jesus, His righteousness, not ours. And how do they become righteous? Well, by faith and by faith alone. No other way. No other way. You see, the Bible makes that clear, that there's no other way that a man or woman can be made righteous with God is by faith, you see. And faith alone. Listen to what God's Word says. Knowing that a man is not justified, made right with God, that is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. You see, you will never work your way right with God. Whatever you do, however much you do, however much good you do, your charitable deeds, all like filthy rags in God's sight. Only through the faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, does a person become righteous, does a person become godly. And across the way of the righteous, you see, if you're a righteous person in God's eyes, if you have been, you know, if you've been credited with the righteousness of Jesus, if you've been washed and made clean, if you've been born again, well, you see, the way that the righteous take is, they follow Jesus. They follow Jesus, you see, they love His Word, they do what He tells them to do, you see. They live in obedience to Jesus. Now there's many people I know in this world, in this society of yours today, they claim to be Christians, you know. They say they are, you know, and, you know, they might belong to some kind of religious group. They'll tell you that they're Christians, you know, and some of them, they wear an instrument of execution around their necks, you know, a cross, and I don't know, for the world of me, I don't know why. But you see, that doesn't make you a Christian. Some people say, well, I was christened, you know, in the Roman Catholic Church or the Anglican Church, you see. That does not make a person a Christian. I was born in a Christian country, you see. Some of our Muslim friends, you see, they come to this country and they make the mistake. They think that because you're white and you were born here in this country, that you must needs be a Christian. That's a gross misunderstanding. 99% of you are ungodly, not Christian at all, and never have been. You see, a person, to be a Christian, to be righteous in the eyes of God, to be godly, as the Word of God here puts it, means that you have been born again, that your heart's been changed by the power, the miraculous power of God. and that you have begun, you see, with all your heart, soul and mind, you have begun to follow Jesus. You read His Word day by day, you pray, you call upon His name, and you live in accordance with His Word. Anything short of that is not gospel, is not Christianity. That's the way of the righteous, you see. The Lord knows the way of the righteous, the psalmist, he tells us, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Because the way of the ungodly is contrary to God, contrary to God's character, you see. It's the way, it's the fashion in which you were born, you see. Bible says that you're conceived in sin, you're shaped, you're born in sin, you're shaped in an iniquity, right from the very word go, you see. You're born ungodly, you're born with a bias away from God, with a hatred for God, contrary to God in every which way. Contrary, you see, to God's law, hating God and hating His law, hating His word, hating His Son, Jesus Christ. Contrary to God, you see, that's the way of the ungodly, to walk in a way that's contrary, you see, to God. Contrary to His law, and of course, more importantly, contrary to the gospel. Walking, you see, in the way of unbelief, godlessness, is called godless living. But of course, your godlessness, you see, your atheism, as you call it, evolutionism, you call it what you will, but you see, it's your crutch. You can't stand the reality of God, so you need a crutch, you see. You need a Zimmer frame to get you through this world, you see, without God. Because you just can't cope with the reality of God. You need some means by which you can suppress, you can hold down the truth of the knowledge of God in your wickedness, in your ungodliness, in your unrighteousness. And evolution, you see, is the choice means. It was handed you, evolution was handed you on a plate by the devil. Here's a lie, he says. Here's a lie, the devil said, that's most suitable for you God-haters. Here's a way you can hold down, you can suppress the truth about God, you can get them out of your hearts and minds, and you can live ungodly, you can live, you can walk in the way of the wicked with impunity. And you exchange the truth for a lie, and God said to you, well, okay, if that's the way you want to go, I'll give you some more of it. And He pushes you in that direction, giving you over to debased minds, reprobate minds. That's what you see all through your society. All the sexual filth and uncleanness, all the ungodliness, that's what God's giving you over to. That's your choice. Your choice, and He just simply confirms you in your choice. So the way, you see, of the ungodly is contrary to God, contrary to His law, contrary to the gospel. Because if you would do just the one thing, you see, obey God's command, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and He says, thou shalt be saved. Salvation could be yours. Out of that ungodly state and into a state of righteousness. Oh, yeah.
Yes, I am.
Pleased to hear it, sir. Pleased to hear it.
I'll say one thing. There with you, with some of these, I've just been sat there watching people smirking.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
Right. And I'll tell you something. But some of these, and those of you spoken to, like I am, mostly by the Messiah,
yeah,
they're get through by the blood.
Uh-huh.
Else, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
No, that's why God accepted Abel's and not Cain's.
That's it.
Right.
The blood,
showing
the blood sacrifice.
Right. So every person you've told and shunned and smirked,
yeah,
right, and all that.
Yeah.
Just sat watching.
Yeah.
All this could be young.
Uh-huh.
Right, but they'll be aged like that.
That's it. Yeah.
But when it goes right, when they stand before God.
Yeah.
This is what he'll say, alright? Listen, when did he tell us?
Have I listened?
Well, yeah, I've got to listen to that. When did he tell us? The full you is to that person as a testimony against them.
Yep, that's it. Yeah.
You know that?
Yeah, yeah.
And you'll
yeah.
stand there, because you'll be with him, but they won't be.
No.
And he'll say, Jim.
That's exactly
he'll
what.
Stand there, because, and he'll show it on the video screen.
Yep.
You saying about this,
yep.
and their reaction.
That's it.
So get away with it, mate.
God bless you, sir.
You
know, have a good day.
One encouraging word, he said these words.
Yep.
You acknowledge him, Jesus, before man.
Yep.
I will acknowledge you before.
That's it.
What is he going to do?
That's
mate?
It. God bless you, sir. Thanks for stopping. So there you go, you see, as the gentleman just said to me, the day is coming. The day is coming, you know, when you stand before God, you know, and, you know, with your excuses in your minds at least anyway, you know, and God will say to you in that day, He'll remind you of this very occasion when you walk past sneering, mocking, you know. Even in your hearts, you know, God will remind you of this occasion when you heard the gospel, you heard the testimony of Jesus. I tell you, people, even these walls around you will testify against you in that day. They heard the gospel. They heard the good news, but they rejected it. They mocked and they scoffed at it. They will testify against you in that day, be assured. The way of the ungodly shall perish. You know, just like you write your name on the sand, and in comes the tide, in comes yet another wave, and it just washes away what you've written in the sand. And that people will be you in your ungodly way, washed away and forgotten that you, forgotten by mankind, the rest of this human race, that you ever existed. Just your name wiped out, and death will have hurried you into hell immediately. Immediately, when you breathe your last, you will waken up in the damnation of hell. Unless you get out of that ungodly state, your name shall rot, and you yourself will be a stench in the nostrils of God. Putrid, get out of my sight, he will say. Get out of my sight, I never knew you. I tell you, the most dreadful, awful words ever written in God's Word, the Bible. Get out of my sight, I never knew you. But the way of the godly, the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but you who are ungodly. So how will you escape the doom of the ungodly? How shall you escape such an end? How shall we escape the damnation of hell? Was a question Jesus put to some very, very religious men one day. How shall you escape the damnation of hell? Another question in the Bible, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Well, the answer is you will not. Unless you pay heed, unless you hearken to the Word of God. Unless you believe, unless you repent and believe the gospel, you cannot escape. It is the only escape route given to you by God. I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus says. No man comes to the Father but by me. No man gets right with God, that is, into a godly state but by me. So I call upon you this afternoon to cleanse your hearts and your hands, ye sinners. While you yet of the time, the breath of life in you, I implore you, I beseech you on behalf of Jesus Christ, be reconciled to God while you have the time. The time is short, God says. You know not when you will breathe your last. Million ways in which God can take the strongest, youngest, and fittest of you out of this world in a nanosecond. Why will ye die, says God? Truly live, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked. But rather that they should turn, he says. Why will you die when there is life to be had in the crucified one? When there is life to be had through the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ. When there is salvation, eternal life to be had. Oh, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the rest shall be added unto you. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, for He will abundantly pardon. Ask, says Jesus, and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Does that mean if you don't ask, you don't get? Does that mean if you don't seek, you don't find? Does that mean if you don't knock, the door won't be opened up to you? Perhaps, maybe. But I urge you, with great urgency, today, now is the accepted time, says God. Not when you get home. I'll think about these things when I get home. What if you don't get home? I'll think about them next week. I'll think about them next year. I'll think about them in a few years' time, but not now. Now, says God, now is the time. Because it's the only time given to you. So I command you, in the name of the Lord God Almighty, Triune, the God, the true and living God, the God of the Bible, I command you this afternoon to repent and believe the gospel. In the depths and quietness of your own heart, never mind the mockers around you, never mind the ungodly that surround you, but you, in the quiet recesses of your own heart, plead with the Lord Jesus Christ. Call upon His name. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved from sin's penalty. Its power, its presence, saved from that ungodly state. Save for God and save for heaven. Listen again to the word of God. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in the season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. You on the pathway to perdition, or the pathway to glory? Which is it, friends? Which is it? Turn before you burn. Believe on